of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We believe that on this night, meaning midnight of Saturday, the midnight between Saturday and Sunday, we believe that our Lord and Savior entered the world. And by that we mean that he was born. And we believe that at this same moment, many years later, he rose from the dead, glorious and immortal, at the stroke of midnight. This is very fitting. This is not a doctrine, but we believe it. It's very fitting that he would do this, because it is at this moment that he began to create. As you know, midnight, Saturday night, is the beginning of the week. And so, how perfect it is that at the moment that he began to create everything, he comes to the world as a man. And that he comes out of the darkness, glorious and immortal, to redeem us at that very moment. It is also correct to believe this because, as you may know, our God, we think, it is believed by many, that the first thing that God created was the angels. And we know that at that moment that he created them, the bad angels fell. The good angels entered into the happiness of heaven, and the bad angels fell. And so Lucifer, the light bearer, and his cohorts threw themselves into the place that God immediately created for them, hell. Now at this same moment, the true light bearer comes forth. The light of the world comes forth out of the darkness from the depths of the earth. He rises to redeem us, meaning to complete our redemption. It is also, lastly, at that very same moment that we believe he will come again at the end of time. He will come, and this belief that he will come at the end of time at the Easter Vigil, St. Jerome says, goes back to the apostles. This is a very strong tradition. Very strong tradition. That he will come back at this same time and judge all men. And it is wonderful that the light of the world would come to us on these nights of the Passover. The light of the world would come to us and make it clear why he made us, why he created us. We know, of course, what the Catechism says. It says, God made us to show forth his goodness and to share with us his everlasting happiness in heaven. But we can change it a little and say, he made us to give us the the light of glory. Because that is how he makes us happy with him in heaven. The light of the world gives us the light of glory. This is why he made us. Because maybe you remember that when we reach heaven, please God, that without this extra gift from him, we can't enjoy his presence as we are intended to. We cannot see him. And through the light of glory, we are given, and this is, after the incarnation, the greatest of all miracles in the universe. We are given the knowledge of God, the same knowledge that God has, he gives to us. No one would believe that if it were not revealed, because we would think, how is it possible for us to have God's knowledge? But it's true. And so we are able to perceive God, to conceive him in our mind, just as he is. In a manner infinitely beyond what we know of ourselves, our own consciousness. It is infinitely beyond that. We know him that much better than we know ourselves. This is from the Roman Catechism. It says that when we enter heaven, even though we retain our own proper substance, we are so clothed as with a garment, maybe with light, that we would appear more like gods than men. Is it as if we are gods in heaven? This is why he rose from the dead, for love of us, to bring us to heaven and give us the light of glory. We want everyone to be aware of this on this night, because this is our goal, isn't it? This is why we're here. And another thing, we know that when Christ died on the cross, because he willed the salvation of all men, he died and he merited, we say, infinite merit, we say he merited enough for 1,000 worlds. And so his merit was infinitely beyond what was necessary. So why are not all men saved? And how is it that this is not applied to all men? It's because, as many know, that when he died for us, he gained all of this merit, but he did not apply it to us. We apply it to men through the liturgy. And so every time there is a mass offered, every time there is a sacrament administered, every time we say a prayer, make the sign of the cross, but all through the passion and death of Christ, and through his resurrection. Because remember, everything would have stayed with him if he had not risen from the dead. And so on this night, everything is given more freely, because this is the night he rose to give us all of his winnings. And so we know that all of these graces, these merits, are applied to us as time goes on, moment by moment, through the Mass and through our prayers, especially at the Mass, our prayers at the Mass, our offering of ourselves. We gain all of these things for other people. And so tonight we are here not only for ourselves, but for the rest of the world. We are here to save the world. We are saviors. And if we are the saviors that we should be, we can save the world. Saint Catherine of Siena, it was said, it was revealed, that she healed the Great Western Schism by her prayers, by her sufferings. So we can do something similar to this. And so, if we are conscious of this, brethren, of why we are here, if our love is great, if our devotion is fervent, we can win great, great graces, great gifts for the world. Because especially on this night, but this is true every time there is liturgy performed. Especially on this night, all of the history of the world, the whole history of time from the beginning to the end is brought down from heaven. Because remember, we bring eternity down to this little chapel. Christ brings it with him at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so we are no longer in time here. We are outside of time. We are in eternity. Because on this night especially, when Christ rose from the dead, time stops. And you remember that he is here tonight, alive, glorious, risen, as he is at every Mass, but especially tonight. And so, through this liturgy, we revisit the past, we look forward to the future, and we have what is present. Christ is here at the Mass, alive, he is with us. We receive him, don't we? And we are one with him. And so tonight we are Christ, redeeming the world by our love, applying all of the grace that he won to the people around us. And so we go back to the beginning with creation, don't we? In the readings tonight, we go through the Red Sea. We pass through it. This is our Passover. Of course, Christ rises tonight. And we look forward to the end of time. We see on this night, maybe more than any other time during the year, we see the law of incarnation, as was mentioned by Father last Sunday, the law of incarnation, which is something like this. Because God has become man, and now God and man, this is our God. God is man. Everything that will help us to go to God. We say, God became man, that man may become God. Of course, we don't mean truly God, but that we become like him. And so in order for us to fulfill this desire of God, that we be like him, we who have bodies act like our God who has a body. And we use physical things just as he did when he was here on earth. Everything for him was physical because he had a body. And so he makes us use the same things he used. So in order to reach him, we first are baptized. We use the water, as in the passing through the Red Sea, which was a prophecy. It foretold our baptism. It's exactly what the passing through the Red Sea was. It was baptism. And so we are baptized. And everything else we do is always physical. We confess our sins to a priest, and we hear Christ forgive us through the mouth and the words of the priest, that sound. This is how we reach heaven. And so tonight, we see the law of incarnation in all its glory. So we see through the sacramentals, in addition to the sacraments, which we see tonight. We see all of the sacramentals. We see the fire. The light of the world. And we receive those graces from Christ, the light of the world, through the fire which is blessed. And we see the candle. We carry it into the chapel. The candle is the pillar of fire in the desert. That's Christ. And the fire is begun by the striking of the flint, which is the rock, which was Christ in the desert. All of these symbols give us grace to reach heaven. We see the three, we hear the three lumens, Lumen Christi. And we say, thanks be to God. And that, the first one, is a revelation to us. An insight into the Father, Christ's Father. And the second one is the Son. Third one is the Holy Ghost, Lumen Christi. All, and then we see the water, the blessing of the water, preparation for baptism. This is all our Passover. We see the thorns. The thorns are put into the candle because the candle is Christ. The nails. We nail the candle because he's just, the candle gives all of these graces for 40 days. And tonight, our Passover is especially clear because of the baptism that we will have. This Passover of the Jews looked forward to baptism, the sacrament of baptism, where they passed through the Red Sea and all that was evil was washed away, all their enemies. And they were purified. They came out the other side all clean. And so, through baptism, she will be made like God. She will be given God's grace. And she will be greater after her baptism than all of more value. Than all of the rest of the universe together, apart from grace. So she will be higher than the angels. This is, we can say, the miracle of baptism. We are given God's life. We are expecting great things from you because of all the graces that you have been given and that you will be given on this night. We are expecting that you will be like one of the great saints of the early church. We have this story to tell because of this. Around the year 300, there was this someone who lived, and he was an actor. He was in the theater. And when the Emperor Diocletian came to Rome, who was behind the greatest physical persecution the church has ever endured, this man, Genesius, had studied the Catholic Church, and he knew all about baptism, because he wanted to perform this great play of ridiculing the Christians. And so he studied what Catholics believed. He had friends who were Catholics. And he knew exactly what they would do to baptize someone, and what would happen to that person afterwards. Meaning that they would give their lives for the faith. And so, on this night, this day, he pretended on the stage, it was all set up beforehand, he pretended that he was dying. And when they came to him and asked him what they could do to help him, he said, "I want to be baptized." And at that moment, he was given the grace to believe. And so he continued with the play. He said, "I want to be baptized, and I want to be a Christian." And they baptized him. Now, we don't believe that he was truly baptized, as you will be, because that was not their intention. But nevertheless, he received this grace of baptism of desire. And so he got up from his baptism, and he went before the emperor. And he rebuked the emperor and said, "You have opposed the light of the world, and you will be punished. But I will give my life in his defense." And so they tortured him so that he would deny his faith. And he refused. And so they beheaded him. And this is St. Genesius. And we are hoping that you will receive graces as he received and give your life to God and love him as this man did. We keep vigil tonight, as you may recall, with our Blessed Mother, because after our Lord and Savior died on the cross and endured this cruel death, greater suffering than all the universe, because he was God, and only he could suffer as a God can. Now we know that God cannot suffer, but because he was God, that's how he could do it. can say he suffered infinitely, in a manner of speaking. And our Blessed Mother, as you know, our co-redemptrix, suffered in a similar way because he willed to have her assist him in redeeming all of us. And so she suffered in some way similar to the way our Lord and Savior suffered. And we believe that apart from a miracle, she would have died. And she suffered sufficiently to redeem all the world. Even that is beyond our understanding. But when he died, her son, and after she had laid him in the tomb, and they covered it with the stone, St. Alphonsus says, that was the end for her. No more suffering. She knew that the world had been redeemed, and she was certain that he was going to rise on this night, the very next day. She knew exactly what was going to happen. And so she went back to her home and prepared with great joy and expectation, and she was ready. But she kept vigil, just as we will do this evening. And so we are with her. And we know that she was the first that he visited, that he came, that he appeared, that our Lord and Savior appeared to. And he spent the night with his mother. So we spend this night with her also. And lastly, we have to mention this one last mystery that is the greatest mystery of all for us. It's not truly the greatest mystery. Blessed Trinity fulfills that role. But to us, this is the greatest mystery. How is it that God loves us? We cannot understand this. He has not only loved us from eternity, imagine that, but he had a plan from eternity to become one of us. This is why we believe that the angels fell, because they refused to accept that God would become a man, not an angel. So he planned to become one of us, and not only to suffer and die for us and rise from the dead, but that he would be a man. Our God is a man for all eternity. This for us is the greatest mystery. And he loves us even in our sins. He desires our salvation. And he comes to us in sin. Gives us what we need. He pleads with us as he did with Judas. Tries to bring us around. So, brethren, this is for us the greatest of all mysteries. And we mention this to you because of the love that we owe him. The saints tell us that our Lord and Savior takes pleasure in our desires. Our desire to love him Because who among us can think that he loves God as he should? But we can desire it. And they tell us that he takes pleasure in our desires as if they were true. And the greater our desire to love him, so much the more does he love us and take pleasure in our desire to love him. So on this night, we are hoping that all of you will be given this grace to love God with all your heart, all your soul, or at least to desire this and to pray for this intention. It's what we often pray for, to be given the desire to love God. And that through these sacramentals and the sacraments that we receive tonight, especially God himself, our Lord and Savior, risen from the dead. How many graces can we earn on this night by our desires to love him? Lastly, remember that at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, this is what we pray for. Because we are united with Christ during the Mass, we become one with him. And in addition to the drop of water that symbolizes us united with Christ in the chalice, and it gives us this drop of water in there, gives us so many graces during the Mass, because it is us who are consecrated in a manner of speaking with him. We are raised up in some manner to the level of Christ. And so we pray during the Mass that our sacrifice be accepted. And we often think that this is the sacrifice of Christ, but it's not. It's our sacrifice that we're praying for. When we pray that we be accepted as the sacrifice of Abel and Abraham and Melchizedek, that we, our sacrifice, be accepted like theirs. That's our own sacrifice. Not the sacrifice of Christ. His is always accepted. God always accepts our Lord and Savior's sacrifice. It's us we are praying for there.
The epistle for this evening's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, if you have risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, shall appear, then you too will appear with him in glory. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this evening's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 7. Now late in the night of the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. And behold,
There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and drawing near, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment like snow. And for fear of him, the guards were terrified and became like dead men. But the angel spoke and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, even as he said. Come see the place where the Lord was laid, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have foretold it to you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We only have a few things to mention to you. Number one, this rite of baptism, which we were privileged to witness tonight, is a rite that has been taking place on this night since at least the second century. We are always astounded by the antiquity of our faith. Because even though there is no proof, this points in the second century we're doing this, and the baptismal water was made similar to the way we do it in the second century. This points to the apostles themselves did this after our Lord rose from the dead, that they did this themselves, since the second century is only a few years after the death of St. John. So we do something here that goes right back to the apostles. As far as the rest of our evening is concerned, the rest of our morning rather, we want to advise you to have a great desire for heaven, because this is our destiny. This is what we were made for. And to pray for it. Because remember, prayer obtains all things. And this is the most important thing that it obtains. Because if our Lord and Savior promises that if we ask for anything in his name and he will give it to us, at least he will give us this, the gift of heaven. Seems Saint Alphonsus tells us that his love for us is so great that he seems to think that we are his God rather than that he is our God. This is how much he loves us and how much he has done for us. And on this night, we pray for all of you and all of us here in our house, and the sisters wish you a happy Easter, and we remember you in our prayers every day, all of you. And we hope that you remember to pray for each other and for us. Happy Easter. God bless you.